and welcome to the comeback return of the Grog and Prog podcast show. And joining us all tonight is a very special prog rock music band. But I think I'd better hand it over to the main man of the group to introduce it himself. A perfect tenterhook drum roll, please, sir.
Hi, my name is Jonathan Shang, and I'm with District 97.
District 97 with us today. You guys sound fantastic. Oh my God. Just amazing.
Okay. Well, we're all
that was going. Fun intro.
Some reason I had to reconnect then. The call dropped out.
Sorry about that.
Oh, well. So,
that was fun.
Great. We finally got there.
Yeah, good stuff.
Great.
Okay. So, shall we just launch straight into it? Because we know, like, you haven't got much time, so, and we messed around a bit there with trying to get in, so I think we should just launch straight into it. This is Rob, by the way, the reason you agreed to do this. Really stoked you could do this for us, because, like, we know you've got a lot of time for other people, so really appreciative you could do this.
Yeah,
let's get straight into it, and
yes, just to introduce myself as well, Steve Pilkington. I'm sort of, I help out Rob on some of these calls. I'm an author and broadcaster and all that sort of thing. I'm, you know, involved in the UK prog scene, and this is pretty cool. So, looking forward to it.
Cool. Yeah, thanks for having me.
We haven't done this for a long time, so we're a bit rusty, but I think we should kickstart it off now. And I'll start by saying that when we finally publicise this, I'm going to do it mainly on Facebook.
Cool.
So a lot of people on Facebook are obviously going to know you. Like, a lot of proggers that are on my friends list are going to know you. But just for the benefit of people, because I've got a lot of people who are kind of pop fans, I think we should start it off with how it really started off for you and how you got your big name, and I think you know what that is, a certain talent show.
Yeah, it was on American Idol in 2007. I was top 20 contestants. I made it to the semifinals, and and I've been in District 97 since then, basically since 2008. So we've been at it for a long time, and I'm also a solo artist. And I'm also now I own a music school and a performance venue in my hometown as well. So I'm doing a lot of stuff.
Great.
That's awesome.
So I've got that one covered. I think we had to explain that a bit, because a lot of people on my list, they're not going to have a clue. Because, you know, I've got a lot of proggers, but I've got a lot of popsters too. So I think you know, the thing with American Idol, it's the version of X Factor right over it. So they will know exactly what that means. So thanks for that. Particularly what floats my boat, we'll get straight into that, is D97, of course. And again, a lot of proggers are going to know District 97. They're a big, big, big band in the modern-day prog world at the moment. So, yeah, so to kickstart off, how's the first question should be, how's the new album going, the new studio album?
Yeah, it's going really well. We're all finished tracking, and now we're just going to get started mixing. So we're getting really close. It's looking like it's going to be early September release, just in time for us to hop over the pond and do a tour in Europe. So that's pretty exciting. We'll have a new album.
Yeah, I'll get to that later. I'm going to ask a question specifically about that. And I've heard a few samples myself. Yeah, because you send a lot of stuff on via email. So I heard the ballad the other night, which I forgot the name of, the title of. You sent a ballad on email, on the Kickstarter emails.
It was
rough mix. Sorry?
It's probably a song called Life Cycle. Is that what it was?
No, I don't know what it is. I wish I'd put it up in front of me now. But I tell you what, that sent that sent a wave of shivers down my spine. So for a rough mix, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
So good start on that one.
Thanks.
The name of District 97, though, I've got a bit confused with that because I assumed, probably wrongly, that it was to do with the movie District 9. But it seems like the band name predates that. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's a bit naive, maybe, and I probably should know this. So, is this like some kind of district of Chicago, District 97, because we don't really know kind of zip code areas?
Yeah, it's a school district. It's the school district in Oak Park, Illinois, where Jonathan, our drummer, and the original bass player and keyboardist all went to school together. They've been playing music together and grew up together since they were just really little kids. So it's just literally a school district in Oak Park, Illinois. So...
Yeah, because I'm really, you know, it's a really probably a coincidence because I don't think the movie was too long after you formed the band. So
2 years. 2 years.
I always until recently, I always assumed it was to do with a film.
No. The movie was 2008, and the band formed in 2006, I believe.
Yeah. So it couldn't, unless it was a book, it couldn't have been. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Absolutely no chance of that one.
Yeah, I mean, we would never, you know, name it something so similar as a movie either. But it's only ever kind of made things confusing for us. So we named it after the school district that they grew up going to.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and while we're on the subject of the album, we always try and inject a bit of humour into this, and you do some really like zany pledges. And one that really caught my eye, and it's a bit of a legend, really. It's a certain garment, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yep.
If you'd like to explain that one, I think you know what I mean.
Yes, I sure do. We played Cal Prague in 2010, I believe it was, and I didn't have a shirt that I liked, so I just made a shirt out of duct tape, and then it caused such a stir that I then wore it, I think, one more time, maybe two more times total. And it's actually the original duct tape bra is signed and on display at a known Prague stop in Baltimore, Maryland. So,
please don't tell me that's gone, because I was really tempted, but there's no way at the moment. What was it? Something like $800 with all the rest of the pledges together with it. So please tell me it's not gone.
I still have one of them. So one of them is just in my closet.
So the actual pledge, the one you've got on the pledge, is that gone now?
I don't think it is. I don't think anybody bought it. So you can keep saving up.
Honestly, put that over to the next album, and you can put me down for no issues. Because I don't know if you're aware, quite a few years ago now, I did a crazy thing like you did a penned set list, not your name on it, anything like that, no authenticity or anything like that, and I paid something silly like for it. So, I mean, I've still got that somewhere, so absolutely treasured item.
Nice.
So I'm willing to do crazy things and spend a lot of money on the music I'm into.
Well, we appreciate
that.
So
absolutely, if you, I'm praying that gets put over to the next album, because I'm probably going to give that a shot.
Okay.
If you could put it down to something like a fitting $360 though.
Yeah, sounds good. I'll talk to our, you know.
Is it? Even though I'm saying $360.
Right on. Well, no problem.
Steve.
I don't think anybody else is vying for it at the moment, so you can probably just name your price. But that's not up to me anyway. That's Jonathan. Jonathan kind of makes a lot of those calls.
Steve will know what I mean by the $360.
Well, I know that you do spend a lot on this kind of thing because, I mean, you paid me 100 quid for an early IQ tape, didn't you? So you do like those collectibles.
That's it. I think if you've really got to consider yourself a proper music fan, you put the money into it, don't you?
Yeah.
So I think the 361 slipped past you for 36 deep.
No, carry on, Rob.
But we'll actually move on from that one.
Yes.
So, quickly coming to the end of my questions. So that was done pretty quickly. Well, the end of the first part, anyway.
Do you want me to take over, Rob?
Oh, I think it's time for your questions. I think I'm about finished with mine, and I've done them. Well, the first part, anyway.
Right, yeah. Here's Rob. Hi, Leslie. As I said, I used to be editor of the Classic Rock magazine.
Oh, my God, just a second.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I could hear that. I was wondering what was going on. I thought he was outside me.
Yeah, my dog's just decided to freak out. Sorry about that.
That's funny. Yeah, I know it's like with dogs. They always want to get in on the action.
Yeah.
I used to be the editor of the Classic Rock Society magazine, which is where Rob first got to know me, and so I'm quite involved with a lot of the prog scene over here. But what I'm kind of interested in is the way it is over there, because obviously with the US being so spread out, and for a band yourself who were like on the smaller end of the scale, it must be really hard to cover the US. Like if you're a stadium band, obviously you do a show in California, you'll do a show in New York, that kind of thing. But over here in the UK, with it being so much smaller, a band who are based in the Midlands, in the middle of the country, can easily, there's a network of small venues where, they can go to the South Coast, up to Scotland, and you can drive everywhere. For you, it must be incredibly difficult because, around the Chicago and general Illinois area, obviously, it's fine. But if you want to cover New York, Florida, the West Coast, it must be incredibly difficult to try to do that.
It is, and we have learned as we go that there's certain areas of the country that are far more spread apart and difficult to navigate and harder on our system and often not actually worth it. So I think in the future, we're going to limit our touring areas to areas like the East Coast where you can hit a lot of cities in a short amount of driving.
Yeah.
That's something that we've had to learn the hard way. We learn what we have, the threshold to deal with, and then we scale back accordingly.
Absolutely. I mean, that's one thing that is good about the UK being such a relatively small country. It's essentially like one state of the US. So touring the UK is so much easier.
Right.
But what sort of venues, size venues do you generally play over there and over here? Is it presumably you play for generally bigger crowds in your local catchment area?
You would think so. But it isn't always the case. So we're not, it's not a very, I wouldn't call it a very popular genre over here in the States.
Oh, no, it's not, is it? Yeah.
It really is not. So we have to find, where our people are. And sometimes to get there, we try to book a show on the way. And we're often on the same bill with somebody that doesn't really make a lot of sense for us, that there's not a lot of fan crossovers, so that's a difficult thing to navigate too. So actually we've noticed that when we do choose to go overseas, we tend to play to an audience that's more receptive.
Right.
And has a longer attention span. And, it's not easy music all the time to listen to. It's very demanding on the listener. We try to give the listener little melodic breaks and, ups and downs that keep it exciting, but it is still not the most comfortable.
In the past, I've been over to a couple of Nearfests, and like the Nearfest festival when it was going. I mean, I spoke to a lot of my US-based friends when I was over there, and they were saying this is really almost the only prog fix that we get in the year. You know, so it was really a central meeting point for people.
Yeah. So the help is to, you know, hopefully be able to branch out beyond just the prog listener, because we've never identified as fully prog. I mean, we've always had all the other elements to our sound that we are hoping this next album will, you know, bring people in from other, you know, from other persuasions.
Yeah.
And hoping to get more crossover.
Yeah.
So me chipping in a bit, you didn't actually, for the last album, Screens, you didn't actually tour in the UK, right?
Didn't we? I thought we did.
I don't think you did. I'm not sure. Anyway, if you did.
Yeah, we did.
Wasn't that when the COVID was starting and maybe thought that might be a contributor to you not touring, but maybe I'm wrong on that.
Yeah, I don't know, actually, to be honest. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all a blur.
Interestingly, Leslie, I believe we had a mutual friend, sadly no longer with us, Uncle Norm in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
I've been over to Chicago, and I knew Norm quite well. All the Midwest gang, as they used to call themselves. Norm was such a massive champion of the music there, wasn't he? Such a great guy.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was a great guy. Well, we certainly miss him.
So much the prog community does. But one thing I wanted to mention about your stuff is when I used to do a bit of writing for Prog Magazine, and one of your albums that I reviewed was the one with John Wetton doing the King Crimson stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That always seemed a strange album to me, because I know on the tour when you recorded it, he just basically did the latter part of the show with you doing that King Crimson stuff, and I found it strange that the album just featured that. I would have expected it to be maybe like a double album with your stuff on the first disc and his on the second.
Yeah, I mean, I'm rarely the one, you know, like making those decisions. Our band is,
true,
you know, strategically run by Jonathan, and I think he's done an excellent job, and he must have reasons.
Yeah.
Or, you know, be it budgetary or just, you know, trying to keep things. Maybe we had other releases in the works at the same time and we wanted to, you know, kind of space it out.
Yeah, I suppose it was one to focus on the real unique selling point of that, which was having John with you. But it seemed a bit odd because without you involved in your own material, it was District 97, but it wasn't. So it was a little bit of a halfway house of a release. I thought it was a bit strange. I would have liked to hear your stuff, you know, but I suppose, as you say, budgetary constraints, a double CD is, you know, harder to sell than a single one. So, you know, other people are more qualified than me to make those calls. But you've got plans to tour the UK again, I believe. You've got some ideas.
Yeah, we'll be there in September. So we're playing a festival in Italy, and we'll be at Borderai in the Netherlands. And I know we're working on some other shows as well. So hopefully we'll have a, you know, a really nice slew of shows, and we communicate it to everybody, and everyone can come out.
Well, when you've got any information about that or any new releases you've got, I mean, I'm the co-admin of a website called Velvet Thunder, and we do like reviews, interviews, news, and that. We run a lot of news stories, so I will always put news stories about your releases and your tours and that. And if you get any new stuff to me, I can always get it reviewed for you. So if you've got my email address, so please do keep in touch, and I'll make sure that I get you covered on the website.
Okay, that sounds good. I actually have to get going, guys.
Yeah, oh, right.
You
got a couple of things you need to finish up with, Rob?
Yeah, can I just quite quickly get mine in?
Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously, like it's a good progression onto where I left off in the pledges. So you do a pledge that's quite expensive, really, and that's for a full electric gig for a Fantapon. What would you feel like if someone said who can't really get to gigs, and someone like me isn't really in a kind of small county where you don't often get these kind of gigs? If someone was going to say to you, what if I pay the expenses and nice meal or something, and you did, and you just brought your guitar or something and did a little unplugged?
I don't know. That's a whole band decision, and it would just have to make sense for us. And that's something to probably email about. I can't really give you an answer on that. That's not really my call.
Yeah, because that's quite expensive. That's quite expensive, isn't it? It's about $2,000 or something like that. And I'm sure the expenses go way beyond that.
Yeah, I don't really put that together.
So, with an unplug, you just bring your guitar and you just play it. But it's as simple as that. We're just about finished now. And if you just want to finish off, this is a bit of an autistic celebration because I recently got my diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
You have a family member, right, who's on the spectrum?
Yeah, my daughter.
And that's what it's a Blueprint track, right? Or is it the Ghost Girl? Because I get them mixed up because they're on the same album.
No, they're not. The Ghost Girl's not about my daughter. I wrote Blueprint from the perspective of my daughter, and just watching her kind of have to fit into a mold that wasn't really, you know, that wasn't really designed for her. And I often feel like it's not fair for the neurotypical people to expect the people with autism to mask themselves appropriately to blend in with our world just because we outnumber people with neurodivergence. I imagine it to be very frustrating, and I feel like we could just let autistic people be exactly who they are at all times without expecting them to act like someone who doesn't have autism. I don't think that's very cool. So that's what that song's about.
I mean, I don't mask at all because I'm in the lucky situation of I don't have to mask. And I won't go into that. It's a bit personal. So it's no real issue for me. But, yeah, I get a lot of discrimination. I've actually been banned from places.
For like, you know, basic safety and, you know, and really, you know, boundaries and things like that. I think those are valid. But as far as just like quirky behaviors and things like that, I feel like we could all.
I don't know if she's got the one I've got, but I've got a problem with being touched. So it's a common trait.
Yeah.
And I was in the club. Although it's not really mental health. It's not really a mental health condition. It can be prone to it. I made this like ask of them, please, can you understand this, and we'll be fine. I was banned for it.
Yeah, it can be really tough. I'm glad you got your diagnosis, and I hope that it gives you resources to understand and that you can continue to learn about it. I know everybody's learning it.
You know what? I don't know what it's like over there, but there's nothing. There's absolutely nothing over here. You get the diagnosis, and that's it.
I do have to go, but I do appreciate you guys having me on the podcast today. I have an important appointment, and I'll be late if I don't leave. So I appreciate you having me on the show.
Okay, right.
Thank you, Leslie.
Thanks a lot anyway. Brilliant.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Appreciate it.
Okay, bye. Yeah, so let's play the mute and play the Blueprint track, and I'm glad I got that sorted out. It's Blueprint.
Okay,
I wasn't sure if it was a Ghost Girl.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So let's go ahead and listen to Blueprint by District 97.
Just barely here.